message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
The Lord will bless you all in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, God has been good to us. The scripture, Deuteronomy 28:13 that we read, shall be established in our lives in the name of Jesus. I said it will be established in your life in the name of Jesus. Can you jam your hands together as we appreciate Papa, as we welcome Papa and Mama? Let's appreciate them this evening. If you are clapping like that, like I said last week, I will be angry with you. Clap your hands very well. God bless you. Hallelujah. Sir, we appreciate you. We can never take the anointing on your life for granted. We really appreciate your sacrifice and the grace of God upon your life. And we pray that God will continually increase you more and more in the name of Jesus. Celebrate you, sir. Join your hands with me as I celebrate Mama also. God bless you, Ma. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm so happy this evening. I was so happy when I saw Mama. I was just happy. Hallelujah. I can't say why I'm happy, but I'm just very happy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I kept looking at the back. And when I saw the kids, something leaped inside me. I was so happy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord will bless you, sir, and ma, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been treating the topic, Vital Keys for Breaking Limitation to Above Only. This should be part 3 of it. And tonight, we'll be looking at Breaking Destiny Limitations. Breaking Destiny Limitations. You know, last week, we went through some points. We talked about some keys for breaking limitations. We talked about kingdom stewardship. We talked about maintaining divine presence. We talked about accepting responsibility for our lives. We talked about some vital keys, some vital responsibilities. Under accepting responsibility, we say regular church attendance, consistent prayer life. We talk about covenant practice, and we talk about faithfulness. And we also talk about, number 4, to live a purposeful life. Because if you are not living a purposeful life, you are going to just live a wasteful life. If your life is not purposeful, it's going to be wasteful. Your life will be wasteful. May your life not be wasteful in the name of Jesus. And we ask ourselves some questions. What am I living for? What is the reason for my being here? And what am I doing now? Is it helping me to achieve purpose? Or is it helping to destroy purpose? May you not help to destroy your purpose in the name of Jesus. I say you will not join forces with the forces of darkness to destroy your own purpose for life in the name of Jesus. So tonight we are continuing looking at the breaking destiny limitations. Those things that limit destiny. God has not destined our life to suffer any form of limitation or frustration in any way at all. No, that's not a plan and the counsel of God. That's not His counsel. His counsel towards us is of good, is of peace, to give us a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. That's the plan of God for us. That's His counsel for us. His counsel for us is for us to be above only. If we look at the book of Deuteronomy from verse 9 down, actually that verse 13 is a culmination of what God has been saying from verse 9 downward. God has been saying something. He said in verse 9, he said, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn unto you, if you keep His commandment. Then in verse 10, he says, then all the peoples of the earth shall see you and call you by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Then in verse 11, I love verse 11 a lot. Deuteronomy 28:11. I love it a lot. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Say, the Lord will grant me plenty of goods. I'm reading New King James Version. I just want to permit me for tonight to use King James Version. I love that part, King James Version. The Lord will grant me plenty. The old one said, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. This one said, God will grant me plenty, plenty of goods. It says, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord your God swore unto thy fathers to give unto thee. That is, the Lord will bless you. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12 is so sweet. Verse 12 is so sweet. And verse 13 is the conclusion of the whole thing. The Lord will open unto you good treasures. Good treasures. Good treasures. The heavens to give rain to your land in its season. And to bless all the works of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. And thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not borrow. Now, thou shalt not borrow. I said, thou shalt not borrow. And in verse 13, now say, and conclusion. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And ye shall be above only, and ye will not be beneath. Hallelujah. Jam your hands together for Jesus. God did not destine you and I to be beneath. He has created you and I to be above only. You know, this scripture was given to our papa as the theme of this month. And I tell you, every month has a package in it. Praise the Lord. And these are divine inspiration. If you hear the word above only, you may not understand what it is. It means a lot of things. Above only means you will not die. Hallelujah. Because when you are beneath, you are buried. Beneath. They bury beneath. Isn't it? They don't bury above. They bury beneath. Above only means you have dominion. Above only means sickness will not rule over you. It means a whole lot of things. Time will not permit me because that's not where I'm going tonight. But I just want to open your eyes to really understand. Because, you know, sometimes we read some scriptures, we don't have a full understanding of it. This scripture given to Papa for us is a whole lot of powerful things embedded in it. And I tell you this month, the Lord will make you to be above only in the name of Jesus. What are the major destiny limitations? This includes financial limitations, health limitation, marital limitation, educational limitation, so many other forms of limitations. If a man doesn't have money, he cannot do certain things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a proverb that I'm trying to remember, but I don't have the grace like Papa. So I'm going to ask Papa to give me the grace tonight in Jesus' name. They will say, he that doesn't have something, I don't know how to do it. But what that proverb is trying to say is, if you don't have cash, you don't make yanga. Sometimes finance can limit. Hello? Finance can limit. Money is good. Anybody that says money is not good doesn't understand what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It says money answereth all things. It is when you love money more than God that money becomes evil. And when you are limited financially, you are incapacitated. There are a lot of things that you will not be able to do. Now, if you have money, you don't have health. Is useless. There are some diseases that money cannot cure. Hello? Money can't cure. There are some ailments that money cannot cure. Money can only buy time. Can only buy some time. But it can't cure it. And that is why these are limitations that devil set before people. Somebody that is destined to be a high flyer in life and suddenly had an accident and he becomes crippled, that person is going to be limited. No matter how much you try, it's going to be limited. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every limitation on your way tonight is destroyed by the fire of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Marital limitations. When you marry wrongly, it can limit your destiny. But when you don't marry right, it can limit the destiny of the person. Educational limitation. There are some people that education can limit them. Education is good. It's good to be educated. Praise the Lord. It doesn't mean that if you didn't go to university or you didn't go to polytechnic that you lack education. No, that's not the whole thing about education. Education is acquisition of knowledge and skills. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today we'll be looking at major ways to escape these limitations. All these limitations and many other limitations that we have not mentioned, we'll be looking at ways to escape them. And number one that we'll be looking at to escape this limitation, pivot, most important key for you to escape this limitation is divine direction. Turn to your neighbor, say divine direction. Say divine direction. Subscribing to divine direction is a sure path to continuous progress and development in life. Many destinies are in chains because of lack of direction. Divine direction is a sure way out of frustration in life and destiny. Brethren, what do we mean by divine direction? Divine direction is God guiding you by himself, leading you, directing your path. I'm not an engineer, but I tell you, the microphone that I'm holding, the best I can do is fix the battery inside the microphone. If something goes wrong, I don't know what is wrong, and I'm not going to try to know what is wrong. I will look for an engineer. We have engine in the house. I'll say, engine, Mike Yoshishe. An engine is to fix the mic. Now, if engine decide not to fix the mic, and he wants me to fix the mic, and he says, sir, fix the mic, what do you think I will do to the mic? I will damage the mic. Praise the Lord. I will do what? I will damage it. God is the author of our life. He is the one that is the engineer of our life. He made you and I. He is the creator. So he knows the beginning from the end, and the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord. While you were yet in your mother's belly, he knows everything about you. So trying to decode ourselves by ourselves will lead to damage. It will lead to damage. If Angie says, sir, because you carry anointing, just go and service the mic by yourself. I tell you, yes, the anointing is there, but I will damage the mic because I'm not trained, I'm not equipped to repair and fix the mic. I will just spoil the mic the more. Praise the Lord. But if Engine decides to give me the manual for the mic on how to service it, and he says, Sam, get your soldering iron, get your multimeter, get your screwdriver, get this, get that. Now follow my instruction. Open the down part, I open the down part. Turn it this way, I turn it that way. Remove this screw, I remove this screw. Fix this one, I fix this one. Solder this point to this point, I solder the point. Couple it back, I couple it back. The mic will work, yes or no? The mic will work. That's the divine direction. When you hand over your life to God and say, God, you are the potter, I am the clay. Take over. Break me down. Remold me. Guide me in the path to follow. See that you achieve greater success in life. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 21. And they did test yet not when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock also, and the water gushed out. They would have died of thirst if he hasn't been the one leading them. Perhaps you are going through the desert of life. I want to tell you tonight, seek God's direction. Ask God to guide you. You see, a lot of time limitations comes our way when we try to go our own ways. Praise the Lord. When we decide to go our own way, when we decide to do things by our own method, then we get to a point that it's like a brick and we cannot go forward. And that is why I want to encourage you tonight. If there's anything you must seek in life, seek divine guidance. Seek divine direction. You a student? I tell you, if you are divinely guided, examination becomes easy. We've had countless testimonies in the house here where God will divinely guide people to where they should study. Study chapter 2, don't study chapter 3. Study chapter 5, don't study chapter 7. And lo and behold, those are the chapters that will come out in the examination hall. I've experienced it before, not once, not twice, severally. I've experienced that as a student. Divine guidance. Guiding divinely. Recently, I was in the house alone trying to do some things, and as I was about getting up to dress up, and I've even finished that, I was about going, and something just said, go back to the house. I entered the room, divine direction, and I went to a particular place, opened it up, and I opened and I saw a big scorpion underneath, big one, and I took something. By the time I got back there, the thing has disappeared from the place. I said, where are you? I started looking. I couldn't find it again. I said, no, I must find you. There's something that, but you are not the one that found it in the first place. You are not the one. So why are you stressed? You can't find it. I said, I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, where is it? He said, it's there. And I went there open. I saw it live. I smashed the head. I tell you, you suffer a lot when you don't seek guidance. You waste a lot of energy. I wasted almost 17 minutes or thereabout, 15 to 17 minutes looking. And at the point, I was panicking because I said, I don't want my kids to come back and this thing is still here. And I found it. I said, but you are not the one that found it in the first place. So you can't find it. So many a times, many of us are like that. Where we're supposed to ask for the light of God, we go about with the candle of man. And we put the candle of man where the candle of man cannot see. It needs the light of God. It needs the light of God to illuminate your life. The candle of man cannot see life. It cannot. It cannot. Brethren, you need to seek God because He's the author of your life. What are the benefits of divine direction? Number one benefit of divine direction averts dangers and calamity. Just like I've said earlier, divinely guided. And you know, this thing was not once. Divine guidance to kill scorpion was not once. I think about 6 times in the space of 2 weeks. At a point, I would just know where they are. At a point, I would just, even my wife would ask, how did you know? I would just know. I would just enter. I would just on the light and open something. I say, you are there. Okay. Divine guidance, calamities, and evil. See, when you are divinely guided, you escape from death. In the book of Matthew, chapter 2, from verse 13 to 20, the Bible gave us a story of how baby Jesus escaped the calamity of death and destruction from the hand of Pharaoh by divine guidance. God spoke to Joseph by night. Spoke to him by night. Verse 13. And now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Can you see that? And a typical Jew will not go down to Egypt. A typical Jew will not go down to Egypt. Sometimes when God guides, it seems as if it's against norm. But I tell you, the light of God is brighter than the floodlight of men. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God guided him. And if you read on, the Bible made us to understand that Herod, in verse 16, made a decree. And they destroyed a whole lot of children just because of baby Jesus. And baby Jesus was enjoying the mother's milk and enjoying wara and nunu and enjoying himself in Egypt, eating the leeks and the cucumbers and all the vegetables and the fine things. And some people were being destroyed. May you escape calamity in the name of Jesus. Have you not wanted to enter a particular bus before? And something will nudge you, don't enter. And you will just turn back. And on the way, you will meet that boss having accident. And you start wondering, how did I know? That's divine direction. That's divine guidance. That's happened to me before. And I know it has happened to many of us. Brethren, when you are divinely guided, dangers and calamities are avoided. May the Lord secure you in the name of Jesus. The security of your destiny is a function of divine direction. Your destiny security is a function of your divine guidance. How divinely guided you have. How divinely guided you have. The fulfillment of your destiny is a function of how divinely guided you are. And I pray for somebody tonight that you will not make a shipwreck of your destiny in the name of Jesus. Number two, destiny opening up. What are the benefits? Benefit number two, your destiny will open up. You know, when God guides, God opens up your destiny to greater things, to above only. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, the book of Exodus, chapter 3, the Bible talked about something there. Moses was herding the sheep of his father-in-law at the back of Sinai. Was just a normal shepherd boy. The people we call S-men today. Was just an S-man. Not the kind of S-men that we have in Nigeria. The real S-man. Not the type that are killing people up and down. was just doing his own business, not destroying people's farm and killing them on top. No. And it was just like that. If you read the Bible very well, he has been there for some years. He was a nobody. He was just there. Exodus chapter 3, from verse 3. Exodus 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight which the why the bush does not burn. Now, if we look at from verse 1, let's go to verse 1. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, he came to the mountain of God. He didn't even know that he was at the mountain of God. He must have been coming there severally. He never had an encounter until he was divinely guided by the burning bush. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And that caught his attention. And right there and then, from verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the Lord gave him instructions. Gave him directions of what he wants him to do. The Lord guided him and the Lord gave him a vision of what God wants him to do. Verse 10, the Bible says, come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And that opened up the destiny of Moses to a life of encounter with God. He's the only living mortal that I've seen God face to face. He would have just died tending the father-in-law business. He would have just been there. But because he was divinely guided, God gave him a specific instruction in verse 10. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh. To do what? That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Praise the Lord. Everyone that the enemy has kept in Egypt, in the bondage of life, tonight I speak to your destiny, that the Lord free you from such captivity, in the name of Jesus. This turned Moses to a global entity. From being just a poor shepherd, became a global entity. May you become a global entity, in the name of Jesus. It doesn't take God 40 years to change the life of a man. 40 milliseconds is even too small, too much. At the blink of an eye, the blinking of eye is some milliseconds. That one itself is too much. For God to turn the destiny of a man that is divinely guided aright. May you be divinely guided in the name of Jesus. Number 3, benefit of divine direction. Divine direction opens you up to prosperity. It opens you up to prosperity. Divine directions always bat increase and prosperity. Divine direction always bat increase and prosperity. I want you to know that if you seek increase, seek God. If you are seeking increase, seek God. If you are seeking prosperity, seek God. Joseph was an example. Joseph was just there doing the things that pleases his father, his earthly father. But he has faith in God. You know, the difference between him and his brother is righteousness. Righteousness. Read your Bible very well. The Bible said he brings their evil report to his father. He was a righteous boy. And that was why the father loved him. Many times in Sunday school, they taught us that the father just made him a coat of many colors. So I've been asking, why would the father make only Joseph a coat of many colors? After all, there's Benjamin. Benjamin was the last boy. By natural phenomenon, he should be the last boy that should be enjoying such pampering. More so, their mother was late. The secret was righteousness. Joseph was a righteous boy. And because he was a righteous lad, the father loved him. The father loved him. And that righteousness is what exalts him. But that's not what we are talking about tonight. We are talking about him following divine direction. Praise the Lord. And that opened him up to great blessing. I want you to understand one thing. That Joseph had the opportunity of messing up. Big time, he had the opportunity. He could have messed up. We all know the story. But he chose not to. He chose not to. In Genesis 39, he chose not to. He said, how will I do this thing and sin against God? No. And the Bible made it clear to us that God was with him. God was with him. God was blessing him. Let's look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. I love that part. May everybody around you see that the Lord is with you in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes when you read these scriptures, they just pop up something to you and you are excited about it. I pray for somebody tonight. Everybody that is seeing you low, we begin to see you up in the name of Jesus. His master, even his organ, knew that God was with him. And that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Do you know what? Read the scripture very well. And the Lord made all that he did, that is all that Potiphar did, not what Joseph did, all that Potiphar did, God made it to prosper in the hand of Joseph. Praise the Lord. That is any tax. Maybe the man has seven companies. Anyone he makes Joseph to be the MD, that one will prosper more than the others. So after a while, the man is a wise man. Very wise man. Smart man. Very smart. And he got to a point, he gave him everything. Says he made him overseer over all his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. If I were him, I would do the same. Except his wife. And the wife too wanted to put herself by force to destroy the young life destiny. But the guy was smart also. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The man was smart enough to recognize this. And you know why? Because he was being divinely guided. He was divinely guided. Verse 5. How do we know? So it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for what? For Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. It was divinely guided. Today, God will give you divine direction in the name of Jesus. Jacob, the father of Joseph, was also divinely blessed via divine direction. This man suffered so much in the hands of his father-in-law. May God not give you a father-in-law like Laban. May you not have a father-in-law like Laban. If you are a man here, may you not have a father-in-law like Laban. The man is a shrewd man. Very shrewd, very mean. Dealt with the young man. The man served until he got everything he wanted to get from the man. But you know what? God was with him. At a point, God gave him wisdom. That's in Genesis 30. And the guy had the understanding to do what we call genetic modification. Hybrid of flocks. And you know, Laban was also smart. If you read the Bible very well, very smart man. When they had the agreement, he removed all the good ones. Took them far, like 3 days journey in between. And gave him the kwashiorkor and the skinny one. But God gave him direction. God will give somebody direction tonight in the name of Jesus. God will give somebody direction in the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 30, verse 34. And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." So he removed that day the male goat that was speckled and spotted, and all the goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the browns was among the lambs, and gave them to the hands of his son. And he put 3 days' journey, can you see that, between himself and Jacob's, and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. The man took away the good ones. Now Jacob took for himself by divine guidance green poplar and of the halmon and chestnut, and peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white strips which were in the rod. And the rod which he has peeled is set before the flock in the gutters in the water up trough where the flock came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flock conceived before the rods, and the flock brought forth the streaked and the speckles and the spotted. Can you see that? Divine wisdom. Divine. This one is, it baffles science. It must be only God. The story time will not permit us. After a while, verse 43 says, thus the man became exceedingly prosperous. He became a threat to his father-in-law. The man that has been using him for many years, for more than 21 years, without wage. He became so prosperous The Lord is going to bless you via divine guidance in the name of Jesus. There are some ideas that God will release into your mind. And when He releases those ideas to you, brethren, run with it. Because there you will encounter prosperity in the name of Jesus. The Lord is going to change your story permanently in the name of Jesus. Also in the book of Luke chapter 5 verse 1 to 7, time will not permit me, I will just paraphrase. Peter has toiled all night until Jesus stepped into his boat. After using his boat, Jesus Christ said, Peter, cast your net. He said something that I love. He said, at thy command. He said, though we have toiled all night. Peter was a professional fisherman. Professional. At least for him to own a ship. He's not a kwe-kwe man. He's a rich man. A whole trawler. He holds a ship. And Jesus said, cast down thy net. And he did. And you know what? The Bible said the net enclosed so much fish that the thing began to break. Now, that is not what I still don't understand there. How were they able to drag the net into the ship and the net did not break? How come the small net now became so big that the thing filled his own boat and the boat starts sinking? He has to beckon to other boats and the other boats came and they filled them. How did that happen? One net. It's not possible for one net to fill a ship. It's not possible. It tells you this is God. And Jesus Christ did not ask him to give him the money. After he finished selling the fish, you can know what will happen. Of course, if you sell a shipload of fish, you are not a small man. So, brethren, I want you to understand when God guides, it guides beyond your imagination and the imagination of men. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus is going to step into the boat of your life tonight in the name of Jesus. And you will experience a net-breaking miracle in the name of Jesus. Number four, speed of accomplishment. Speed of accomplishment. Divine direction, but speed of accomplishment. When you know where you are going, you get to that place faster than when you don't know. How many of us have been there before? You are going to a place you don't know. You will stop and do a hello. Good afternoon, ma. Good afternoon, Sir Ejo. Please, I'm going to so and so place. They say, somebody that doesn't know the place, they'll say, I don't know the place. They say, the party doesn't say, a yellow water. After what? Turn to the left. After left, ask somebody. Then you even say, thank you, sir. God bless you. Then you continue. Then you get there. They say, ah, no. You should have turned. Then you say, ah, but somebody, ah, come on, honey. Go back. Then you turn back. Recently, you know that. How many of us have been to Kano before? You've been to Kano before. You know, Kano City has, they will have like Tankier Road. Then they will have Tankier Street. You don't know. There are plenty like that in Kano. There's a place called Niger Road and Niger Street. And Niger Road has Niger Road to the Igbos. And Niger Road to the other side. So if you are going and you get there, say I'm going to Niger Road. They will ask you, is it to the Igbo or to this side? So recently, a friend of mine traveled to Kano. Said he called the person. He has never been to Kano before. He called the person he was going to meet. The person said Niger Road. So he met the. He called a Achaba, and that one says, where are you going? He said Niger Street. He forgot the road, and that one took him to Niger Street. So they were looking for number 30 something. He said they look and they couldn't find, and the rain was coming. So he looked up and the cloud was thick, and he was like, Jesus, rain must not beat me. And he's an elderly man that has arthritis. So he said, rain must not beat me, God help me. Then he called the man said, no, it's Niger Road. Then he went again to Niger Road. And then they got to Niger Road and said, no, it's to the Igbo side. Praise the Lord. But when you are divinely guided, you go straight. Niger Road, Niger Street, so point, turn to the left, turn to the right, you get to your destination. You have speed accomplishment. How many of you have you ever written an exam that you are divinely guided? You will be the first to finish. Yeah. Papa, 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 you are done. You jump out and you are not tired. You will not be tired, you will be excited. In fact, you'll be waiting for that lecturer. And you'll be saying, Tolomba, B lecturer. Either. If he gives me B, I will challenge. I will call for my paper. How many of you have been there before? I've been there. You are so sure. You are this speed will be 3 hours paper, 45 minutes, you are done. because you have been divinely guided. I've been there before. They thought I saw the paper. I didn't see paper. I saw the one beyond paper. Praise the Lord. Brethren, when you are divinely guided, you encounter speed. I pray for somebody tonight. May you encounter speed in the name of Jesus. Number 5 is healing and health. Healing and health. Divine direction grants you healing and health. Brethren, sometimes when you want to eat something, you will just see that something will just tell you, don't eat it. That's the Spirit of God. Remember sometimes ago, somebody very dear to me packed some mangoes, brought some mangoes home, plenty like that, and sat down, washed, and started eating. And she called me to come and eat. I said, no, I'm not eating. I had a nudge in my mind, don't eat this mango. I said, don't eat this mango. Ah, no, I'm going to eat. I said, well, you can eat, but don't give my children. Don't eat. Don't just eat alone. I had a nudge. I told the person, I said, look, I had the feeling. Don't eat this. He said, Sam, I will eat. And she finished eating at night. Hey, something began to happen. It wasn't funny. By the following, by 3 a.m., it was a step between life and death. Because those mangoes had been poisoned. It was a step between life and death. And unfortunately, there was curfew in the land. You cannot go out until daybreak. So, double calamity. Started praying. God, praying. As this one is coming, the other one is coming. This one is coming, the other one is coming. Life almost gone. Took God intervention. Brethren, divine direction, secure your health. Don't drink alcohol. Say, what is pastor saying? Don't smoke. I will smoke. What is pastor saying? Don't go and join yourself to a woman that is jumping here and there, that is fully loaded. He said, that is what I want to do. And when you do that, health becomes a challenge. You run back to pastor and say, pastor, pray for me. May we not live such lives in the name of Jesus. Naaman was a leper, but via divine direction from God and through his servant Elisha, he was healed. I tell you, between healing and health, I will take health. That's the truth. Because healing will take a demand on you. And if you can't get the demand, you might not be able to recover. Praise the Lord. But thank God for this Naaman. The man is smart enough to follow divine direction. And let me shock you. I've read and I've heard about the Jordan River, where they asked him to go and dip in the book of Isaiah. I mean 2 Kings 5, from verse 1 to 17, 15. I've read about it and I've heard people that have been there before talking about it. I pray for somebody here tonight. You will visit the Holy Land in the name of Jesus. In your lifetime, you will make several visits in Jesus' name. Said, River Jordan is a murky water. It's not a clean one. No wonder the man said, well, there are no better river in Syria. Mention the names of the rivers than this murky thing. But by divine direction, thank God for that little servant, he entered. The Bible said he came back. His flesh is as clean as that of a newborn. Have you ever seen in the flesh of a new baby? Succulent, soft, smooth, no spot. The thing will be glowing, fresh. Divine direction. Brethren, sometimes divine direction may go against medical direction. I tell you, it's a mystery. Thank God we have medical doctors in the house. We respect them a lot. But I tell you, sometimes divine direction will go against it. And it is against science. But I tell you, you just follow it. Somebody that is leprous, the skin is peeling. Then you ask him to go and dip in a murky water. You know that you are adding injury to salt. And you did not say even dip once, so that the man will just do crook, crook, crook and run out. You say dip. Dip 7 times. That is, go inside the tea and dance very well. 7 times. Then come out. To wear your body. Then go back again. Deep again. That's not an easy one. And the guy did, and he came out beautiful. Your life is coming out beautiful via divine direction in the name of Jesus. Some mediums for divine direction. My time is up. That is way out of destiny limitation. Number 1 is prayer. Only the prayerful is entitled to divine direction. Genesis 24, we see that the servant of Abraham praying when Abraham sent him to go and get a wife for Isaac. He prayed and God guided him. He prayed. You know, the problem is many of us, we lack the grace and we lack the strength and we lack the will to pray. Too lazy in the place of prayer. If you see anybody that is lazy, that person cannot be a prayerful person. It's one of the reasons why I don't like lazy people. You can't be lazy around me. I've had several people staying with myself and my wife. Many a times, many of them will pack their load and say they are going. We will not drive them, or they will drive themselves. Why? Because they can't cope with the pace of our work. They can't cope. I'm walking, you are sleeping. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. Sometimes they go, one young man is right here in church, he's looking at me, came to my house, we work till like 2 a.m. He was shocked when I came out 4 a.m. in the morning, and I came to tap him, get up, we are going to church. He said, ah, sir. Get up. By 5 a.m., in fact, by the time I came to wake up, I've done several things, I've been prayed. When I wake up, he said, sir, what is that? I said, 5:30. He said, ah. Mercy. He went and hid inside the car so that he would not do anything. I drove him out. I said, get down. He's looking at me and smiling. Praise the Lord. Laziness. You can't get up to pray if you are lazy. When the Holy Spirit wakes you at night to pray, if you are lazy, the bed will drag you back. Rather than you drag the bed and drag yourself, the thing will drag you and say, Father, the person will come and say, it's raining. The weather is cool. And cover himself and slip away his destiny. Praise the Lord. Prayer liberates. Prayer sets free. The Bible says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, your adversary, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. It is prayer that will keep him at bay. Prayer is the fire that keeps the beast away. Get up, get up, get up. Pray yourself out of lukewarmness and pray for divine guidance. Number two, maintain an atmosphere for divine direction. Don't keep... God cannot speak when the atmosphere is polluted. You are looking for a partner to marry. Three guys have shown up as a lady. Three guys have shown up. Good guys. But the one, the main person among them, may not be as much as you rate him. It's not as packaged as the other two. And you are praying, deceiving yourself, that you are praying, God guide me, God guide me. And the atmosphere is not conducive for the Holy Spirit to speak. You are busy listening to Celine Dion and Dion Dion and every other ones like that. And you want the Holy Spirit to speak? It is Celine Dion that will speak. Holy Spirit won't speak. He won't speak. That's the truth. I was talking to somebody. I said, how many books have you read on marriage? You want to get married? Do I look? I said, look, go and get books. Seek for information. The atmosphere is not conducive. The Holy Spirit cannot speak. The atmosphere is crucial for you to hear the voice of God. Maintain an atmosphere of praises, an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of holiness for you to hear from God. Psalm 85 verse 8 says, I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Can you hear that? But to them that are not, to turn them again to folly. I pray that you will not be turned to folly in the name of Jesus. Number three, study the word regularly. Study the word regularly. The word of God is a major medium for assessing the voice of God. Psalm 119 verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may see thy wondrous work, and behold wondrous things from thy law. Psalm 119 verse 97 says, O Lord, how I love your law. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Brethren, the word of God is our compass for life. The Bible is our compass. If you are here tonight, you don't read the Bible. How do you get direction? How do you get guidance? How do you want God to speak to you? God cannot speak where there is no study of his word. The voice that you hear every day, that you study every day, is the word, the voice you will hear. You can't be reading Mince and Boons and you expect to hear God guiding you in the area of marriage. It's not possible. You'll be looking for the Prince Charming in the bright armor that is coming from the royal castle. That's what you'll be looking for. Why your Prince Charming is coming from the mud. Coming with the mud all over him. But inside him are treasures of gold. You won't know. You won't know. Because you have not studied what we open it up to you. You have not studied. You are there. You are a man. The Bible says, whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth a favor from God. You have not spent one day to pray for God to favor me as I look out for the life partner. You have not prayed. The devil will package one wereke girl. Package it. Package her very well. And dump her on your lap. And by the time she touches your back and your chest, you'll be swept off. Yeah. It's funny, but it's the truth. Because you have not sought the Lord. It's not only about marriage. Study the word of God. What about your career? What about places to live? What about when you want to travel? I don't know if you have been there, you want to travel. You have prayed, God guide me, speak to me, I want to travel. Should I go, should I not go? And suddenly you are studying and you come to a scripture and said, and the Lord tell him not to depart to so, so, so and so. That's the word. What are you waiting for? Don't depart. Fine, I'm not going. Finish. Hello? Emma Binu, I'm not coming again. It's close. That's it. But you are not studying the word. Not only that, the word of God is rich, it's powerful. It's powerful. I pray that God will bless us in Jesus' name. Last but not the least, I still have two more. Time is up. Through your pastors and prophets, I'll take this one, then I'll stop. Your pastors and your prophets. Your pastors and your prophets are major voices which God uses to guide you. Your pastor is a servant of God sent to you to help you fulfill your life and your destiny. And a lot of times God will speak to them, to you. More so when you have pastors that are not after what you have. They are not putting any demand on you. So it is not because when they tell you the good thing, and maybe because they expect something from you, they will not tell you the good thing. They will tell you the truth. Sometimes when pastors tell us do this, do that, many of us don't follow those instructions. Many times we don't follow it. There was a particular time that Papa asked us to spend time, at least 1 hour, to pray in the Holy Spirit. Spend 1 hour. How many of us remember that time? Just spend 1 hour to pray in the Holy Spirit. I remember I myself didn't do the whole 5 days of that week. I think I did maybe 4 days or thereabout. But I tell you, weeks after that, the amount of wisdom that were deposited to solve a problem that I was facing then was out of this world. Time will not permit me to share that testimony with us. Sometimes praying in the Holy Ghost, what does it have to do with what you are passing through now? It may not have any correlation, but it's a divine guidance. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Spend time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come to the house of God. Divine guidance. Do this. Just do it. Don't do this. Don't do it. More so, these are not pastors that are going to place a demand on you and say, I'll fast for you. Bring 10,000. No. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. I said, God will help us in Jesus' name. We need to understand that God still speaks and He speaks through His servants. So sometimes the words that come from this pulpit are to help us, to guide us, and to direct us to our place of destiny fulfillment. May your destiny be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. May you enjoy in the name of Jesus. Your destiny not be limited in the name of Jesus. Before we close tonight, I want you to know you cannot be divinely guided if you are not divinely
controlled. Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.